Celtic versus RB Leipzig. The Old Firm in Europe's big league. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Celtic 0, Leipzig 2, Shakhtar Donetsk 1, Real Madrid 1, the scores from Group F, which means Celtic bottom on 1 point, third place is Shakhtar Donetsk on 5, Leipzig on 6, and topping the group, Real Madrid on 10. So Celtic have a lot of work to do. It's now looking extremely difficult, and that's probably being kind. So what did you make of it, Celtic fans? 01419511025, where did it go wrong? And how do you feel about the group overall? Let's bring in Sean and Dennison first. Sean, how do you feel?
Hi, Gordon. Hello, Gordon and Mark. How are you doing?
Yeah, hey, good, Sean. Thanks.
Best guys in the panel, by the way.
Well, Sean, I don't know how much they paid you to say that, Sean. So we'll pretend that never happened. What about your team tonight?
Just pretty disappointed, Gordon. It's just this, a different Celtic that stepped out against Real Madrid. They look tired now. I don't know the intensity is nor there anymore. They're creating these chances. We need to score goals. Or exactly what's happening now will happen. We'll end up finishing bottom of the league. I don't know. I'm not sure if we get into the conference. Quite sure how it works. Finishing, but
not if you finish bottom. Finish third, you would drop into the Europa League.
And it's Maeda. He's looking like a different player as well. It's looking like a different team compared to the team that came out against Real Madrid. There's the intensity there. It's just watching a different team again.
Mark, is that fair?
No, not really. I would disagree with Sean that I thought the intensity was there in periods in the first half. Thought Celtic created, started well in the opening minutes, but were pinned back by Leipzig. But I think from about 25 minutes on, Celtic had a real good spell where they created a couple of chances. And when you concede a goal, I think it's always going to zap a bit out your legs. Funny enough, I thought Celtic then picked up again the second goal. Then people do look tired because you look like you're desperate. You often are desperate. But the intensity and the pace that Ange Postecoglou wants these guys to play at, it is difficult to keep that up against these quality sides when they're popping that about you. It's always going to come back to the same in this group stage for Celtic. At the top end of the pitch, something that has not failed them since Ange Postecoglou's time has failed them in this group stage. The killer touch, the final piece of the jigsaw, whatever you want to call it, simple enough chances for these players they're failing to take.
Over the piece, Gordon, they've all had a crack at it. A few, you know, Abada's missed chances in previous games. Greg Taylor and Aaron Moy had two of Celtic's better chances tonight. Matt O'Reilly, we've spoken about, you know, the Kyogo and Maeda, etc. It feels like everybody's passing up these chances.
We can strip this game right down for hours, Gordon. We can talk about tactics, we can talk about players, we can talk about everything. For me, the difference is they're clinical. You see their two goals tonight, their movement. First one, header, Joe Hart, no chance. Second one is brilliant. I love seeing that touch. He's hit that before. Joe Hart, who's was an international goalkeeper with England, didn't even have a chance to set himself. The ball's in the back of the net. There lies the difference. Now, you can criticise the attacking style. You can criticise maybe the midfield. You can criticise a lot. Celtic created chances, didn't put the ball in the back of the net. They were clinical. They punished Celtic.
Yeah, Mark, it's interesting because any game of football, there's always going to be a number of factors. You know, it's never just one thing. People like to tell themselves that, oh, it's just that, and if we fix that, everything would be different. That's never the case. However, you obviously can't win football matches if you don't take your chances. I mean, come on, talking about statements of the obvious here. Celtic have one goal in this competition and should have scored a lot more.
Yeah. Now, especially the way Ange Postecoglou has set out his stall since he's came to this club. And Frank and I had a discussion earlier where Frank says that's the way he's going to play, that's the way we want to see Celtic play. That's fine. So you got to get the other side, you've got to get one side right, because if you're going to be so open going forward, you better take your chances and you better take more chances than the opposition. Because if we go over the stats against Leipzig, against Real Madrid, Shakhtar to a lesser extent in the first half. They've had some chances against Celtic and could have scored more as well. So you better bet or hope that your strikers
chances
take chances.
Created tonight, Mark, Celtic will probably have maybe more chances than what Leipzig had. I get back to it. Roughly the same. Similar, okay. But I get back to it, right? The difference is they're clinical.
Yeah.
They put the ball in the back of net. It's as simple as that. Celtic don't.
Sean, what else then? I mean, in terms of individuals, there's a lot to get through. Who, I mean, were there any positives in there? Was there anything you liked about it? And if not, who annoyed you?
No, I wouldn't say anyone annoyed me. It's just a bit frustrating watching. And then you've got Jackie Marcus, who's scoring a last minute winner, and he's sitting on the bench, coming on when we're towards the end of the game. You're like, why can they not mix it up a bit? Try Jack Marcus and Kyogo up front instead of just the same tactic all the time. And teams will adapt it. Teams will learn to know how you play and stuff. So I think maybe a wee change, but you can tell. And with Maeda as well. Maeda just—he looked shattered. He looked tired most of the game. I would say Greg Taylor done most of his work. But for that, I just don't. I understand what Mark was saying about the 25-minute mark stuff. We did have a lot of positives, but I wouldn't say we hit them the way we hit Real Madrid.
Mark, though, this is where we're always going to keep coming around in circles to an extent, because Sean says, you know, if it's not working, try something different, which makes perfect sense. That is a statement that you hear a lot in football. Why not try Kyogo and Jackie Marcus together? However, that sounds to me like something you would do if you weren't creating the chances. Do you see the distinction there?
Yeah.
By having Kyogo and Jackie Marcus play, does that really make you take chances in a way that you're not doing previously?
I suppose you would do that if you felt you weren't getting enough bodies into the box, that you needed an extra striker in there. But you're right, Gordon, the argument isn't that. It's when you're in those positions. I mean, look at Kyogo's head on the first half. He couldn't have more space, more time.
Jackie Marcus has one to throw 5 yards out from goal. You know, or when Greg Taylor's in, or when Aaron Moy's in, does the fact that Kyogo and Jackie Marcus aren't on together influence their finishing? Now, I know I'm being a bit facetious with that, right? But if you are creating the chances, how does tweaking the tactics help you in an attacking sense? Surely the onus falls solely on the individuals
on the
to
player.
Take their chances when they come along.
Of course. And they have to, you know, sometimes players have to take the responsibility. The manager will obviously carry the can and he'll come out and say whatever after this game. But when players are in positions in specific moments, big moments of the game, they have to stand up, especially your front players. It's why they get paid the big bucks. It's why they're the superstars of the team, because they take the pats in the back when they grab the limelight. So they need to take the criticism, unfortunately, when they don't, and they put their defence under severe pressure. That's what's happened throughout this
I thought the front three that started tonight were as poor as I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Maeda done all his work back the way, right? Whether he's, that was the reason he was picked, he just worked constantly, and you can't fault the boy for that. But he gave nothing going forward. I thought Abada, until he gets substituted, apart from his first ball in, done nothing, contributed nothing. Kyogo was as poor as I've seen him. So as much as we all, you know, talk about how good Celtic are going forward, the attacking and the pace and whatever they may be, tonight, for me, they weren't at the races, the front line.
Right, thank you to Sean. Let's bring in Stevie. How would you sum up how you're feeling, Stevie?
I'm absolutely shocked. I can't get over the way that Celtic are playing right now, especially see the Japanese players. I don't think any of them have kicked a ball. I mean, apart from Kyogo, I mean, he's never done much service, but I mean, Maeda is running about like a headless chicken. I mean, he's got the first chance of the game, and after all the criticism this week, you think he would have upped his game. Do you know what I mean? This is the Champions League, not the Child's League. Do you know what I mean? You've got to take your chances. Any other team in that group had that many chances, they'd have been won the game outright. Plus, I honestly think the referee was absolutely disgraceful tonight. I mean, oh God, between the decisions and even their players can do to staff. It was just horrible. I'm just disgusted, to be honest with you.
Maeda's getting a bit of stick, which I'm not saying he doesn't deserve. Gordon, solely on tonight though, I mean, was any worse than Kyogo tonight? And does Kyogo have more goodwill in the tank? Is that why the focus goes more on Maeda, or is this an accumulation of what's been happening in previous weeks?
The only reason he was better than the other two, and I'm talking about Abada being on till 42 minutes, 43 minutes, was the fact of the work rate. Now, you'll never fault the lad for work rate, but I think if you're playing at home and you're a forward player, you've got to offer something going forward. It's okay turning around and say, yeah, look at the work rate, look at the pressing, look at this. There's more to football than that. He's a front guy that's supposed to score goals, create chances, get in behind defenders, turn. He done more chasing the fullback that way than the fullback chased him. Now, I won't fault his effort. Hatate was off it tonight, especially second half. Wasn't surprised to get subbed. Kyogo doesn't look as sharp to me, right? I think Jackie Marcus, come on, caught the opportunity, looked a threat, looked a danger, but obviously never got the goal. I thought he was a wee bit lucky at the far post. I still think that the defender was clever with him. But I just thought the front three that everybody usually talks about how good they were really off it tonight. I thought O'Reilly played very well. You can talk about the McGregor situation and O'Reilly. I thought O'Reilly played well in there. I thought he'd done his shift. I thought he worked well. He got himself involved. But at the end of the day, I thought their finishing was brilliant.
I mean, Stevie, what annoyed you about the ref?
I just thought that he gave every decision website's way. I mean, we're sitting very high up in the north stand, and we can see fouls going in left, right and centre, and nobody, he was be giving Celtic any foul whatsoever. As soon as the ball touched one of their players, they went down like a loaf of meat. You know, I mean, I don't understand it. I mean, the only shining lights in the whole game for Celtic were Carter Vickers-Jens and, as Gordon said, was
O'Reilly.
I mean, the O'Reilly tackle was outstanding. See that one, he went back. But, I mean, we're talking about players that are playing a defensive position. That's what we're going to be talking about, the players that are meant to be forwards and scoring. And last year they were scoring for fun. What's happened? Where's the spark? You know, I just don't get it.
When down like a loaf of bread, that's a new one for us. I like that. I'll add that to the list.
I've noted that one.
I mean, Mark, I don't know. We in terms of sort of small incidents in play, we mentioned Kyogo probably should have got a free kick. There was a push in his back. I don't know if there was anything major. Was there?
I wonder about the penalty kick.
And Jackie Marcus.
The more I see it, the more I think it was a penalty. I think the defenders pulled his arm, which in turn, of course, would affect you. No doubt in my mind, Jackie Marcus should still be strong enough, I feel, to score, but I think it does affect you. And when VAR's there and it's been replayed a couple of times, I just wonder what the officials, they come to.
I said from the beginning, I thought that the defender was, he got away with one for me. Because you're saying, well, he still should be stronger, but when you're going in there and you've got it in your head, I'm just going to put my head, and all of a sudden you're pushed to the side or tugged or pulled, all of it puts you off at that pace and the ball coming in. So I can understand that. I didn't look at the referee tonight and think it was the difference between the two teams. I thought that second half, they found an extra half yard for me. More space, quality balls better, more pace about their game, and obviously clinical finishing.
I mean, bottom of the group, Stevie, even third looks like it's going to be tough. Doable, but tough. How does that feel?
Well, I mean, it's a bad thing. I honestly think that we're Europa. Europa, if they can even get into it, would be about our class, because we can't compete with the big players, with the big money. I mean, even that team that we're playing tonight, I mean, I think that we could have stood toe-to-toe with them. Especially in the first half. I don't know what happened in the second half, but the first half they could stand toe-to-toe with them, but only for so long, it seems. And then, boy, suddenly kick into another gear, or we lose a gear, or whatever.
Stevie, I know this won't be a hugely popular comparison, right? I get it, I know the way it works here, but I mean, Rangers beat them last year in the Europa League. What does that show? Two things: that it can be done, and secondly, that even if you're in the Europa League, that might be the level of team that you face.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can understand that. But I honestly think that, I mean, we can't compete with the big guns with the money that we get for our league. Do you know what I mean? It's just, it's like you're placed at the Champions League, to be honest with you.
I don't know where we go with this stuff, Mark, because on one hand, that is undeniably true, and Kunku and all the rest of it, Celtic would love to have these players, and over the piece, you're probably not going to tonight. Shakhtar Donetsk drew with Real Madrid. I think we watched the game earlier. Well, I can't remember. Man City, did they get held?
Copenhagen.
Now, and I know
Juventus got beat 2-0 as
I
well.
I know that City went down to 10 men and so on. There's got to at least be room, Mark.
Gordon, I'll always argue that point that that's not true, purely because I experienced it. I know it's years ago.
It's still true to an extent, though, obviously.
Look, Celtic are never going to win the Champions League. Nobody's even suggesting that. Have they got enough to compete? Of course they have.
But tonight shows you that clearly it's not as if you're not watching that game and thinking, oh, these two are from a different stratosphere here. Celtic are out their depth. That's not even been the case in any of the three games. Yeah. So we need to decide.
The argument was before this game that Leipzig and Shakhtar and Celtic were
all had a chance.
Yeah. And that is true. But the finer moments in games, You need to prove a point in the games within the 90 minutes.
It's only the argument after a game. Nobody comes on before a game and says, I'm a Celtic fan, I'm going to Celtic Park tonight, we're not going to win because they've got better players, they've got more money to spend than us. The difference tonight, you're right, Gordon, you watch these two teams, I thought second half they played a lot better, but it was the difference in the finishing. Celtic still created chances enough to score a few goals tonight.
Look, even we'll get to Rangers later in the week, but even say Rangers-Napoli, right? It was 3-0, but you know, there was the penalties, there was a sending off. You still didn't watch that game and think, oh, Rangers don't belong here. So the phrase is becoming a bit problematic for me, Mark. It might just be a personal thing. There are a lot of teams in the Champions League. What is it, 8 groups of 4? Is it 32 in the group stages? How many of them can actually go on and win it? Not many. So when people say we're not a Champions League team, what do they mean? Do they mean that we're not capable of progressing through the groups? Well, if that's the case, that applies to loads of teams.
I think it all falls into what Daz says there. It's after the game and followed quite quickly after the games where defeat. And if your team's sitting there without a win in the Champions League, people automatically jump to the we're not a Champions League team. Now Celtic could go out and absolutely batter Shakhtar the next game. Does that make them then a Champions League team? Well, I always believe that Celtic have got a fighting chance in the Champions League at Celtic Park. But we need to go back to it. The way they play, you play that opening attacking, you've got to take your chances, because you are always going to concede at least one going the other way against teams like this.
Thank you to Stevie. Let's bring in Stephen, who's from Balloch. Were you at the game, Stephen?
Hi, good evening, gents. Yes, I was.
Right, how did you see it then from where you were sitting?
The story of our season in Europe so far. Don't take our chances, get punished. My main point was, to the producer, was Ange and not having a plan B, and how he seems to persist in making three changes round about the 70-minute mark. It just doesn't seem to work. And obviously having O'Reilly alongside Hatate tonight, there was no real impetus going forward or any speed whatsoever. It was very lethargic.
Mark, what do you make of that? I mean, Stephen's picking up on even Ange Postecoglou sort of always making the changes, always using the squad. Does he do it too much?
Look, I think the way he asks his players to play, especially at the front, it takes a lot out of any individual. So he's right to use his squad. I mean, Daz had mentioned that maybe it was time for Jackie Marcus to come on. Kyogo wasn't on. The one I think we were all puzzled at was Moy.
Does that not contradict what you're saying then? Because in general, you would get the need then to freshen things up if you're asking a shift from players. But, and I don't mean to pick on this guy, right? It's just this one example since we're on it. When a sort of must win, if you like, Champions League game is right in the balance, do you need to introduce Aaron Moy, someone who's been nothing more than a bit part player? Yeah. And again, that sounds really harsh on Aaron Moy. It's more the principle rather than the guy himself I'm talking about.
It might sound harsh, but it's true. You're bang on, because I wonder how many Celtic fans would have looked at Moy coming on and thought, I tell you
that's
what we need right now, because he showed it in this game and he showed glimpses in that game. Well, he's not.
Would you have said the same when he went through on his right peg and instead of squaring it, he
should have scored.
He puts one in the back of the net. You wouldn't say the same.
But he didn't. You're just making up something. Okay. That didn't happen.
But here's my argument to that about the substitutions, right? You can tell.
I know it's because Hatate was off it, so you're saying you need to bring him off anyway.
You can argue with who you bring on, but I wouldn't argue who you took off.
Fair. I mean, Stephen, I would like to sort of keep changing the tune, but it's difficult. It's clearly a missed chance. He's a major feature, as you said. It's the story of the season in Europe. Does that just all come down to personal responsibility then? Naturally, the manager obviously just takes the flak for results. That's fine. What more does he do to make these players put those chances away?
I think it's in the previous call I said that we're not a Champions League side. I think that's just rubbish. The guys have proven time and time again that they can bury teams when they're on it. But I think Mark played at a higher level, in the Champions League. I think it's just down to mentality. For whatever reason, the guys, they have a good 30 minutes, 40 minutes in them. They don't score. And then they seem to get nervous. They start playing, what I like to call Neil Lennon football. They go side to side and then they go back. And they seem to have this unwillingness to try that, audacious pass, and they play safe, and then they ultimately get punished.
I mean, Mark, I don't know. I feel like in commentary, or when we were watching it, you guys felt like Celtic at least were trying to come forward, albeit maybe not doing it effectively.
They stuck to their guns. I thought they did stick to their guns. I thought they went a bit quiet at the start of the second half, and I partly didn't know how Leipzig moved the ball and created chances. And you know what, Stephen's point, I've played in, let's take it away from the Champions League, played for Dundee United and went to Celtic Park in Ibrox. When you do get a couple of chances and you don't take them, you do get a bit anxious. Trust me, you do think it's not going to happen again. And invariably, they're going to get their chances and take them. And quite often when you vigilate, it happens, because better players will take chances. Now, you move that up the scale to where Celtic are now in the Champions League, maybe you could see that a bit coming. That bit of belief just zaps out the guys in front of goal. Not in creating the chances, but in taking the chances. It's hard to argue against that because we've seen, you said, a whole bunch of them, not just one player. You can't just label this at Kyogo or Giakoumakis. It's Abada, it's Jota, it's whoever else. It's in those, O'Reilly tonight. And it's the Celtic's Achilles heel just now. I never thought I'd say that under Postecoglou, just because of what we've seen last season, where when Kyogo was out, Giakoumakis came in, was scoring at ease. If it wasn't him, it was Abada, it was Jota, it was take your pick. But now, on this level, they're struggling.
I find it very surprising with the chances, I've got to say. I know people go, well, it's a step up, Champions League, and they're not taking their chances. But you don't, as a striker or a winger or wherever you are, in that split instant, the ball comes to you, think, I'm the Champions League here, and you freeze. Kyogo, for instance, right? Everybody will say, if that is a domestic football, he puts it in the back end.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
That's what I'm trying to say. I can't figure out, because Mark was talking about not just Kyogo, other players missing chances whatever.
It's fair. It's interesting that, Mark, because that sort of logic would probably flat stand if you're talking about you only get one or two chances at this level. You might get six or seven domestically, and that's where it's harder. But Celtic are getting more than one or two even at this level.
Yeah,
they are getting a lot. It's not like it's just one or two and you forgive the... You forgive them for not taking them, but...
And you've got to say, we're not talking about efforts from outside the goal here or, half chances. We're talking about real good chances in all the games, and they're struggling. And it started way back that Real Madrid game when Abada went through and goal, and you could see the lack of belief in him there. Now, I'm not suggesting that carries on to anybody else, but they've got to find a solution for it at this level.
Thank you, Stephen. Some interesting thoughts. We appreciate you getting in touch. Good time to get in... involved, by the way. Maybe you're just leaving the game and all the traffic will be bad and it adds to a frustrating night for you Celtic fans, so pick up the phone and let us know what you're thinking.
This is Celtic versus RB Leipzig. The Old Firm in Europe's big league. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
Gordon Dalziel and Mark Wilson are here. They were just bragging during the break about how quickly the show's gone. They can't believe it's 10:30 already. Do you want to extend it? We go another hour, go till midnight?
Yeah, let's go to 11:05.
Just leave it. I think we'll round it off at 11, just to save some discussion for tomorrow, of course. 0141 951 1025. With any luck, we'll hear from Ange Postecoglou before the end of the show. But in the meantime, let's speak to Ryan in Annie's Land. How would you sum up the game tonight, Ryan?
Hello. I thought it was pretty poor from Celtic tonight. One performance in particular was Rio Hatate. I thought he was really slow. Coming into the game, I thought just tracking back and stuff like that, I thought he was poor. I don't know why we took off Haksabanovic. I thought he was having a good game, to be honest. And thank God for Cameron Carter-Vickers, because he was brilliant tonight.
I mean, Mark, it wasn't a vintage night for Rio Hatate. He got praise for his Real Madrid performance and elements of Shakhtar. So again, we don't necessarily need to jump to that not good enough for the Champions League broad brush. But there were elements of it where the real elite midfielders, it doesn't matter how much pressure they're under, they managed to turn and come away with it. And he tried to be cute a couple of times and keep it and use his body, and he just got robbed. So but it's a learning curve for him as well, isn't it?
It certainly is. Him experiencing this level of competition, I think the boy is an outstanding player. I think he's shown that in his early Celtic career. And even against some of the big guns, he's shown what a good player he is. Tonight, I'll agree with Ryan that there was times that what he usually gets away with domestically, you just don't get away with at this level. But the one thing you've got to give him credit for, he kept trying, you know, he keeps taking the ball in those areas. But the big difference is when you lose the ball in that that area of the pitch, it's usually overrun with outstanding players who will just then, you know, put you on the back foot right away. And that's what happened tonight with Hatate. Like, he'll have better games, and I don't think there's any worry about him ever long term playing at this level, but just wasn't his night tonight.
Yeah, he was poor. Let's be honest about it. And rightly so, get substituted. It wasn't his night. He has a good talent. I totally agree with Ryan. Haksabanovic, for me, I said during the show, Gordon, I would have put him to the left hand side. He can play off of there. I'd have kept him on. I think he offers you something. I think he can give you something. I was surprised that he was one of the subs, I've got to say, because you end up with Bernabe coming on and playing that forward, who's a left back, playing one forward with Taylor when you're chasing the game to try and get something. So I think he would have been a better bet to keep on the pitch, but Postecoglou decided to make those substitutions.
Ryan, I don't know what your take on the missed chances is. It's the unavoidable theme. Is it individual responsibility? Can it ever really be more than that? Or would you like to see something different? Do you think Celtic are getting it wrong?
I think it's just taking our chances. You know, it happened in the Real Madrid game where Maeda, it was put on a plate for him. He should have put it in the back of the net. And it's time after time again in Europe, you know, where we're just missing chances, clear-cut chances where we should be putting away. And that's the difference, you know.
Yeah, I don't know, Mark. You can't keep, or can you keep only talking about missed chances? Because eventually, you know, that when it's one game, you think, oh, well, that's a bit unlucky. Or two games, but four games in, it's a bit of a theme now.
But I always go back to, there's a balance. You know, yes, you need to take your chances, but at worst, can you do better defensively?
Get a nil-nil, yeah.
Always you can do better defensively. So you can't just dismiss the chances and the goals that Celtic are giving up, because it's a glaring part of the game. At home especially, if your striker misses chance after chance after chance, at least the team should come off and then have a pop at your strikers for not putting them away. You can't even do that because the team is wide open. Carter Vickers, I thought was brilliant today. By the way, Jens, I think, had a couple of good blocks. O'Reilly at the base of that midfield defensively.
I was going to say, were you two not up to a point praising Celtic's defence, or was it just a bit better than you thought it was going to be?
I thought Celtic dealt with a lot of pressure, and especially second half up until the goal. Now, I'll go back to, we can pick holes, of course you can. You can sit down and watch the video replay time after time, pick holes, defending, going to the ball, closing down. But I thought the first goal with the header was clinical, brilliant. But the second goal, you don't even give the defender a chance to tackle you, and you don't give the goalkeeper a chance to set to try and narrow the angle. He's been that brilliant with the first touch. The second touch kills everybody. So yeah, you can pick holes in the goals, but overall for me, I thought the back four and the goalkeeper, I thought Juranovic just at the end should do a lot better, but I thought the goalkeeper, who's come in for a bit of stick, no chance with any of the goals, I thought he had a good night as well.
Here's the thing though, a minute before they scored their first goal, you made the point, Leipzig coming top, can you see them get a goal? You said no, I said yeah, because I could see the pressure building. Now, yes, the defence was good up to a point. How much pressure can a defence hold it for that length of time before they need a hand? Now, it doesn't help when people don't follow runners, part and parcel of the game. And if you look at the two goals from a wider angle, you quite clearly see that the back four, I think, is Juranovic maybe for the second goal. But your centre-halves are still in a good position. It's the guys that are coming in, Werner and Forsberg, who run off people and score the goals.
How does that work? I'm asking in all seriousness, because, you know, in a layman's assessment of it, you would think Werner is the job of a defender. A Celtic defender should pick up Werner rather than a midfielder. But is there more to it than that?
Well, I made the point again, as the game wore on, Werner didn't stay as a wide guy. Quite often when Leipzig got the ball, he drifted into an area which is too difficult for a centre-half to come out. But midfielders have to be aware. And I think when you see guys looking at him, looking at his number, by that time, at this level, it's too late. And look, we will go on about the chances, because it's right, they are glaring in front of you, but you've got to give yourself a chance then at keeping a clean sheet.
See, if Celtic scored him, you're saying they're terrific goals, because it's great striker play. Because what happens is, he's there with the centre-backs, they all drop deep, he just peels off Gordon and he waits for a cross, and it comes perfectly for him. He's still got a bit to do. He's got to direct the header, and he directs a header away.
But I'll agree with you, they were terrific goals. But you as a manager, you would sit down and analyse how do we better manage that situation.
But also, if it was Celtic had scored the two goals to midnight mark, we would be standing here going, terrific striker movement, great finish, great first touch.
How do you stop them?
What do you mean?
They are great goals, you're right, I would be praising them. But when your strikers aren't scoring, you've got to find a way of stopping that.
Thank you to Ryan and Annie's Land. John in the East End, how are you feeling tonight?
Hi, Gordon. Gordon and Mark. How you doing, guys? I heard a guy on earlier. I think his name was Andrew. I think he was on the back of six. The guy who was groaning about how he thought that he wasn't happy that Postecoglou picks Maeda all the time. And I kind of listened and I thought, well, I hope this guy's not right. And he turned out he was spot on. He was so wasteful. He was just kept going backwards. It was like he lacked composure. I don't get it. And then when you guys mentioned it earlier about substitutions, why on earth did they take Haksabanovic off and leave Maeda on? This is what I couldn't get.
Is that a fair criticism, Gordon? Would you have left Haksabanovic on?
100%. I said it. My substitutions right away would have been the front two, Maeda and Kyogo. I'd have put Haksabanovic out to the left, Jackie Marcus through there. Look, it might not have worked. Of course, we're all great after a game and looking at the situation, but I couldn't believe. Maeda to me is a manager's dream, working and pressing. But when you're asking him to do something better and create and go forward, get the chances, score the goals, I think he's found wanting at times. And I think the Celtic fans, not them all, but I think there's a majority out there starting to think, you know, he's not as good as what the first thought he was going to be. Now, it may just be a period the lad's gone through, because you cannot fault him for his work rate. His work rate is brilliant. But sometimes in a team like Celtic, and the opposition you're playing against, you need more.
I mean, Mark, there possibly was a drop-off, but, I mean, Haksabanovic had a decent first half, certainly, did they not?
I thought he did. I thought he played quite well. He obviously created that outstanding chance for Kyogo. And I thought he did fine. Now, we don't know what's happened. Was he carrying a knock? I don't know. The manager's not said anything about that yet. But, it was a strange one for me. Maeda gives you plenty of energy pressing. I do tend to agree with Daz, what Daz's point was earlier. When you're a forward player, for me, there has got to be more to your game than the press inside it. I know it's a huge part of the game nowadays, that front press, but when you're a team like Celtic and you get a lot of the ball and you get a lot of chances in that final third to create, you know, clear cut chances, then you've got to have that bit of quality.
Does it also bring it into focus then? If you've got a front three where two of them look clinical, and then he's your worker who's helping you set the tone and press, then it's fine. It all gets forgotten about.
Yeah.
But if you need him to be the clinical one because the other two are off it, then
you're in trouble.
I mean, John, obviously some good things and chances created, but ultimately bottom of the group, 1 point, and you know, really up against it. How do you feel about the bigger picture?
I think the bigger picture, to be honest, Gordon, is the fact that we're just so wasteful in front of goal. The amount of chances that we've had, I think the chances we had against Real Madrid, the chances we had against Shakhtar, we should have been out of sight, especially second half. And then, okay, Leipzig last week, they got let out of jail, and within a matter of minutes or a matter of seconds, they'd scored again, and I think he's just been doing at that point, and then obviously the night. And this is what I was saying earlier about Maeda. I'm not just saying Maeda was the worst of the bunch. There was a lot of missed opportunities tonight, a lot of chances that went begging and such. But what was annoying me more so about Maeda was, like I said earlier, it was how wasteful he was. There was, remember the chance he had when he was out on the wing? And he got the ball, and there was nobody in front of him. He
could have ran. Sliced cross.
And he just launched it. He just launched it into nowhere. And then, obviously, he had that chance again where he was right in front of goal. He didn't even hit the target. I mean, so I'm not just saying it was all about Maeda. There was a lot of missed chances out there tonight, and there's been a lot of missed chances in all the games. But at the beginning of the season, Celtic were flying. Doesn't matter, they just need to look at the goal and the balls were going in the net. Now all of a sudden things are changing, the balls no going in, they're dead wasteful. I think one of the guys said it earlier as well on an earlier call, just don't get it. Why is it all of a sudden?
Somewhere in the north of England, if that's where he still lives, Jack Ross is saying, any chance you could have been this wasteful earlier on in the season?
Yeah, exactly.
Done me a favour. Yeah. But yeah, thank you, John. Some interesting stuff. Roddy has sent a message in. He agrees. He says the mushrooms talking sense. We don't hear that very often. Maeda very, very poor tonight. So 01419511025. Get your calls in. With any luck, we'll hear from Ange Postecoglou next.
This is Celtic versus RB Leipzig. The Old Firm in Europe's Big League. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboards.
Mark Wilson and Gordon DL are here into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We will try and hear from Ange Postecoglou. If he speaks in time, we'll bring it to you. But we are going to be up against it before we go at 11 o'clock. What we can certainly do is take more of your calls. John is in the south side. What do you think tonight, John?
Evening panel, I just wanted to offer a bit of a defence, or maybe a bit of an insight into the not substituting Maeda, rather than, you know, moving Haksabanovic out. In the first leg against Leipzig, their right back tore us apart. It was all the out balls in behind Jota, you know, leaving Taylor, you know, exposed 2-on-1. Maeda going backwards is definitely gives us much more, and for large portions of the game cancelled out their right back. He wasn't the right ball, he wasn't getting the freedom that he did in the first leg. People are obviously criticising him going forward, I totally understand that, but if you look at Maeda's goals over the time he's been at Celtic, he's not, you know, a creative winger or an inside forward as such. He has nip in the back post, score, you know, a goal at the back post, a deflection, that type of thing. That's his, been his kind of role since he's been here. I think it's a bit harsh to criticise him when, you know, creating chances isn't his natural game. And the way that we played tonight, the way that his role was maybe set up, was that he was tasked with
stopping out there, the right back. I mean, has John got a point there, Gordon?
Well, I said that was his, that was the biggest compliment I gave him tonight. I thought, You get, here's the way you look at it. He marked the right back, the right back didn't mark him. Now, I totally take on board and I totally agree with John what he's talking about. He's worked right back and stopping the danger, because I said after 5 minutes, really like the look of this guy. He played very high up the pitch. My head had done a terrific job. But you're Celtic, you're at home. You're there, you're an attacking player. You're not a defensive winger. You're an attacking player. So I would like to have seen him being a bit more forward thinking. I'm sure every Celtic fan would have as well. You can't fault the boy for the work rate he's doing, tracking the lad back. But you've got to go and get a result tonight. You've got to be in the front foot. You've got to be positive. When he gets the ball at times, okay, I'm giving him slack for the chance in the first couple of minutes, Gordon. I think that's a difficult. No, but sums it up for me. He gets into a good area in the left hand side.
Yeah.
He kicks the ball right out of the pitch.
I kind of get where John's coming from, Mark. It goes back to the point we made just before the break. If, and this is where the big if comes, if your main striker's firing and your right sided forward is firing, you can be encouraged by what Maeda did, and you can see what John's saying. You can say, well, do you know what, he actually provided a really good function for the team. So even if he wasn't at it, he nullified their threat, and we were able to pick them off elsewhere. But when that bit doesn't happen, then it's a bit harder to be that encouraged by Maeda's role, isn't it?
I think Maeda carried out his role well in the first 45 minutes. I think I can remember times where, you know, Leipzig looked to switch a ball and you see Maeda way back in his own half track. Also think he took him the other way a couple of times and got in behind him. Lacked the quality, okay, when he get in there. The second half, I would argue that he didn't do such a good job and Simikin going back. I think he should actually score the one he gets in and he cuts in his left hand side. He did well when he tracked him back that once in the corner. But it's an area that Ange Postecoglou seems to give up against anything that he believes. You know, this open expansive football, we're going to get people off their seats, but in a wide area where he can play an attack minded player or a forward thinking player or someone else, he chooses a workman like player like Maeda. And it is to serve a function, because Simikin was outstanding in the first leg and he was quieter tonight.
I mean, John, I'll be honest, I was sort of nodding along when you were making the case and thought, do you know, that's fair, because all we've had is criticism of Maeda, and it's nice to hear the balance and you built a good case. Then the bit that jumped out, though, and I'm paraphrasing, you said something like, you know, he's not a creative player, or he's not a goal scorer. I mean, is that not a bit of a problem for a Celtic winger?
No, I didn't say he wasn't a goal scorer. He's proven that he is a goal scorer.
But what was the bit at the end then? He's not a creative player, something like that.
He's not a creative winger. You know, his role is, you know, as I said, it's nipping in at the back post when he plays out on the left hand side or on the right. You know, he's nipped in with goals. He's, you know, the last man on the back post, that type of thing, a deflection, something falls in the box. He's there for us. He's proven that he can do that. But tonight what we're asking of him is to obviously be more defensive minded and be more tactical aware of his positioning. When he then gets a chance, he's, you know, kind of run into space, etc. That's not what he's done over his time at Celtic, so we're asking him to do then something different than that he's used to doing.
Right, but is it too much to ask, John, that when he does get into a good area, he just puts a good cross into the box rather than slice it out of the park?
It's no, definitely not too much to ask. I mean, but we're talking about one occasion out of many, you know, over the course of his career at Celtic. You know, we're talking about one cross across, well, not across the box, across the goal line. You know, I don't expect Maeda to go and create loads of chances for me. I expect Maeda to nip into the back post and score a goal for me. Tonight, the way we played.
But he's not doing either at the moment, though, is he, John? Look at this season, John, he's not doing either.
But how many opportunities has he had, really, starting out on that left-hand side?
I disagree with that. I think if you're a forward and you're playing in this exciting, fast-flowing football at Celtic, get the credit for, you've got to offer something going forward. You just can't turn around and say, well, I chased the
field. John's saying he does. He offers kind of tap-in goals and so on, or gets in at the back post.
Well, tonight he didn't even look like
he's
he was
going
to offer
it. He's not done that this season, I think that's...
Yeah, I think he's been poor, Gordon. I really do. As I say, fault him for his work rate, absolutely no chance. But I think you've got to give more as a winger and a forward going the other way rather than chase a fullback for 70 minutes and then get a pat in the back.
Right, thank you, John. We wish we could have kept that one going, but as you can hear, we are out of time. It was quite a night in the international front. It did not go to plan. Scotland women's team losing to Republic of Ireland. The World Cup dream is over. A good victory for Dundee United in the Premiership, and the big one in the Champions League. Same again for Celtic. Chances created, but didn't take them, and the opposition did. A 2-0 win for Leipzig means Celtic bottom of the group and even face a tough task to finish third. So we'll look back on it further tomorrow. We'll hear from Ange Postecoglou. You'll have had the chance maybe to see some of it back or to gather your thoughts. And of course, the small matter of Rangers v Liverpool, a battle of Britain at Ibrox. We cannot wait. Here until 11 o'clock again tomorrow with Marvin Bartley and Cammy Bell. So make sure you join us. And in the meantime, stay right there. Amber's up next.